Take a break from typing and tune in to the Part-Time Writers Podcast, the show where two part-time writers with full-time jobs work to profit from their passions, pay their bills, and please their wives. Join hosts C.M. Raymond and Ellie Barbant as they chronicle their meteoric rise to literary mediocrity. It's the Part-Time Writers Podcast.
Welcome back to the Part-Time Writers Podcast. I'm Chris Raymond.
I'm Lee Barbant.
Still
Lee Barbant. I haven't changed my name yet.
All right, Lee Barbant. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, tonight's pretty exciting.
Thanks for having me.
We have a big show going on.
Yeah.
With five guys.
It's five guys.
Yeah, just like the burger joint.
That would be interesting to know how national the Five Guys burger joint is. We're going to have like...
It's pretty darn national because my brother-in-law, he's dating a woman whose dad owns Five Guys restaurants.
I thought you were going to say he's one of the five guys.
He owns five of the restaurants. And at one point she said, yeah, my dad, well, he's actually thinking about selling them. We're like, oh, he's going to retire. She said, oh no, he has a full-time job. He does that as like a side hobby. And jeez. I thought he should be a part-time writer.
Well, this is going to be our next podcast. Podcast season three is franchising a restaurant with Chris and Lee.
We open a Subway in the Batcave.
I would not eat our food.
No, I wouldn't either. Would you read our books, though?
I would read our books, and I would love them. I would buy multiple copies, tell all my friends, leave Amazon reviews.
Glowing Amazon reviews.
Support our Patreon. I would do all of
it. You do it all. Hey, Lee, so before we get to the interview, what's happened this week? What's been going on?
So, you know, last week we had our big release party. It was exciting. We got a little drunk. We gave a little victory lap. This week, we released the second book in the Rise of Magic series.
Hold on. It released already?
It released already.
So a week after the first one?
A week. It was technically...
8 days.
I think we did it in 8 days. But that was Amazon's fault, not our fault.
Sort of, yeah.
So we blame them. Yeah, they took their time. But we're not going to, you know, we're not going to bore you with, you know, tales of our massive success jet setting around the world with our second book or anything.
You pleased?
I'm very pleased.
Why?
I'm pleased for two reasons. One, when you see the books side by side, the covers look even better, right? There's like, they're different from one another in terms of like tone and color, but they're similar enough that you can tell they're related. They are really attractive side by side. I'm also pleased because we've seen them side by side in several of our categories. So
yeah, we got the orange tag, bestseller tag, several different times. We've been hanging out at the top of a couple different charts, and book one's still hanging out in the 200s. And so that's really encouraging.
Yep.
I told Michael before maybe it was release week. I told him, yeah, you know, after a week, I hope we stick around 2,000 or 3,000. We are 14 days. Is that right?
I think it's 13.
13 days from the release of book one as we record this, and it's still in the 200s. So that's a good sign. Book two's out. Book three will be probably another 2.5 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So things are rocking and rolling for the part-time writers.
I want a little recap on our conversation last week. We had a little conversation about have we sold out?
I'm
trying to figure out what that means. I had a conversation with a longtime fan and listener and friend now, Christopher, on Facebook. Hey, Christopher, how are you? And this is something he said. He was like, I've been listening to your show for a while. You've always been trying to sell out. You just were really bad at it. that was encouraging.
That's a good one.
Hey, but what, you know, that's the past. This podcast, we're forward thinking.
This is the future. It's the far future.
That's right. So
far future fantasy.
A couple things. Because, you know, our two-book release has been exciting for us and for Michael, we've been having conversations about how can we make the Age of Magic really feel like an Age of Magic. It's like, you know, I'm a fan of Marvel movies. I've talked about that before. The Age of Ultron took place in, like, it was like a three-day thing. And then the Age of Ultron was
lame age.
I wouldn't call it an age. but we want our series to be an age. So part of what we're talking about tonight, really the thrust of what we're talking about tonight, is future plans. And it's a quickly approaching future of how to build our world. So we have, in collaboration with Michael and a bunch of other really talented authors, we are expanding the Age of Magic through other storylines, through other geographical regions in our timeline, through spin-offs of characters of ours and stuff like that. So tonight's conversation is with three of those authors, and we'll introduce them in a second. And they're going to talk about their hopes and fears in terms of helping us build this world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. There's two other authors. They don't join us. I don't think we'll mention them because I didn't get the okay to, but hopefully they'll be on the podcast soon enough.
Whether or not we got the okay, they couldn't commit to being with us on the podcast tonight. So I feel like they don't get their names mentioned. They're in the doghouse.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks, Lee. All right. So anyway, let's get on to the interview. So Lee, we're not alone tonight.
Nope.
Finally.
Yep.
Who's joining us?
We've got a powerhouse tonight. we thought the interviews have been going so well, we decided, hey, let's multiply that fun threefold.
Well, what it was, after Craig Martell, we thought, what single human could actually, you know, hold up a crowd like Craig Martell?
He was far too interesting as a person to make him... I'm convinced he can't be an interesting writer because he's far too interesting as a human being.
Yeah, his life is too interesting for him to write good books. Hey, so...
It's not true, Craig. We like you.
So we're joined by three of the new five authors at this point who will be writing The Age of Magic with us.
Yep.
And it's P.T. Hilton. Hey, P.T.
Hello.
Brandon Barr.
Hi there.
And somebody who's not a stranger to anybody out there, the Justin Sloan.
Is that true? Hello!
There it is. There it is. Okay, so in that order...
I promise... the Age of Magic world is not just a huge
sausage party.
Yeah, sausage party. Is that the appropriate nomenclature?
Sausage fest,
because we couldn't get any of our female collaborators to join us tonight.
We're the only ones irresponsible enough.
Right.
Yeah.
They're all writing. We're just sitting here having fun.
That's right. yeah. So why don't we go in that order? And I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves, what you've done as authors in the past, and then what is your series, your story going to be in the Age of Magic? How's it fit in?
Sweet. Sounds good. So, yeah, so awesome. So my name is P.T. Hilton. I'm kind of most known for, I wrote a series of fantasy stories called the Zane Halloway series, and also a kind of a supernatural thriller Stephen King-esque series called the Deadlock Trilogy, starting with Regulation 19. And yeah, I'm real excited to get into this world. The series that I'm going to be working on is, man, I need to nail down the name, I guess. But I think it's Storm Raiders is going to be the name of maybe the series or the book. I don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
I should have figured that out.
Working title.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And it's basically it takes place in kind of the Nordic region of the world, and the culture is kind of developed so that the magic system is all based around weather, and that the people who live there are going out on raids, and they can kind of call down the fog, and when they're doing their raids so that the people can't see them, and then as they're escaping they can call vicious storms to kind of block their path as they're escaping. And it'll be the story of a young woman in that society, and she's kind of fighting for justice in that world. So I'm really very excited about writing in this world. It's going to be great.
PT, I've been pumped from the get-go. As soon as we started writing The Rise of Magic and Hand of Story, I thought, oh, you know what would have been way cooler if we did something out on ships with the power of the sea. So I'm very excited to see this kind of this corner of the world flourish.
Yeah, so don't mess it up.
don't mess it up.
I think you're going to have the movie trailer style of magic way more than the rest of us, I think.
I'm going to say he's going to have the movie.
That's my guess. Yeah.
My money's on him to have the movie.
when I started writing mine, I just kept thinking, wow, this would be really awesome if PT did it instead. And so that's where I thought you were going. Awesome.
All right, Brandon, you're up.
Okay. I've written several books with a co-author in the past. More recently, I released the first three books in my fantasy, science fantasy series called The Song of the Worlds Saga. And that's been a blast writing that, and then got called and recruited to join this awesome team. And I'm really on the cusp of just entering in to the research and development phase. So I don't have much to report on that end. But it's been fun reading the first book by you, Chris and Lee and Michael. And then I'm just digging into researching, brainstorming at this phase.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, give us a 2 second rundown of. So I'm not. This is weird because we're writing in a science fantasy world. I don't think I've read many science fantasy stuff. What?
No, don't say that.
Oh, sorry. What's the mechanism that's working in your world, Brandon?
Okay, so science fantasy is a broad term, but basically, if it could be sci-fi, but it's like super soft sci-fi, like not any tech language or very fantasy focused language with even with starships and stuff like that. That could be kind of a science fantasy. The science fantasy I'm writing is a mesh of medieval worlds and more advanced worlds. So you kind of have a complete Game of Thrones feel for part of it, and then kind of a middle ground Dune type of feel, which is, yeah, you know, definitely a science fantasy. And then also there's mercenary spaceships that you know make their appearances and subplots and whatnot. So it's kind of cool being able to have a spy from an advanced world be infiltrating some medieval kingdom. So there's a lot of different genre blending going on, and it makes for a lot of unique surprises that you can play with.
Do you have any vampires? Awesome. Any vampires in there?
Not in the Song of the Worlds.
Okay. Just no. Wondering. All right.
Oh, Chris, vampires do not belong in fantasy. Let's just get that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see about that. So
is that my turn?
And Brandon, you don't want to go and do any pitch of what you're thinking of yet. You're not ready for a commitment.
Oh,
yet.
Right. You don't have to. Oh, we don't want to pressure you before you're ready. But
I'm not 100%. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm leaning towards somewhere in America. That's very vague, but leaning in that direction. So we'll see. As I read Michael's books and his solo books, and then the Age of Magic books, I'm gonna flesh that out further.
Yeah. And you'll have to have some conversation with Justin too. What was going on in America during Valerie's time? So.
Yes, that's the fun thing about collaboration is I've done it in the past, and it is really fun. Sparking ideas from other people's minds.
I'd be really interested to hear or to see what happens with America, because, you know, like a lot of these, we'll get into that, I'm sure, but a lot of these are fantasy kind of weird versions of what they used to be or what they would have been if fantasy was real. And so seeing what that would be in America is really fascinating.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, Justin, why don't you introduce yourself? Is this the third time you've been on the Part-Time Writers Podcast? Is that right?
Yeah, but the first time doesn't really count because I was just like sitting in the background while Ashley chatted on and on and on.
Oh, yeah, that was the instant freebie.
That's right.
Yeah, so that didn't count. yes. So you might know me from little known title as Reclaiming Honor, which is, yeah, the Valerie books, which take place 150 years-ish, plus like four or five. After the main Michael Anderle books. So there's that. And then I also wrote a fantasy series called Falls of Redemption. And so I have some world building there. But for people who have read any of my reviews, I go very subtle on the world building. So I look forward to chatting about my approach to that and why I do that. And then also Game of Thrones. You know, so I wrote on the video game Game of Thrones, and that was world building in somebody else's world with a bunch of other writers. So kind of a similar experience. We're basically making like Game of Thrones for Telltale right now. Similar in some ways.
Nice.
Yes. And then so my book that's going to be in this world is right now based on kind of the highlands and lowlands of Scotland and what's going on there. And it's pretty fun. So far I've started writing it actually today. So that was great. And it's got like a paladin magic thing going on where the paladins kind of believe magic is evil and witches and all that stuff. So what what's interesting to me about it is you guys have that aspect where your main character is the magic person, and then there's the other people who try to persecute magic users. And what I've realized as I'm approaching mine is I'm kind of doing it the opposite, right? Like, my main character is the persecutor, kind of. You'll see. It goes totally different directions real fast, but yeah. Good stuff.
Nice. Nice. Hey, also, for our writer fans out there, Justin has a podcast, which many of you know about. But Justin, why don't you say a word about the podcast to pitch that for people a little bit?
Yeah, I'll just say, first of all, if you're listening to this episode, you probably have an interest in fantasy or will soon once you read these amazing books that Chris and Lee have done. So you should go listen to this episode that PT helped me co-host with Scott Lynch, who's one of the best fantasy authors out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, so, that was fun. That was a great episode.
Yeah, he wrote the Liza Locke Lamora, which is just superb. It's really good in the prose area. You know, like a lot of times, especially what we're writing right now, it's very commercial. It's very digestible. You can read it and just be like, yes, awesome, fun, fist pumping goodness. You read something like Scott's work, you're going to do all that, but also say, wow, that prose is beautiful. Hopefully you'll see that with our books too, but you know, it's not our primary goal necessarily. Our primary goal is to have fun, right? And like entertain the readers and have a good time doing it, I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's Creative Writing Careers. So if people want to check that out, we'll put it in the show notes too. Mm-hmm. Hey, so we're talking about world building together because we're in a funny place. We're building a world. Chris and Lee.
That's us, man. Yeah, that's you.
I keep hearing you guys say it. Lee and I and Michael kind of have gotten this Age of Magic rolling. And it's, you know, based upon a bigger universe. So what I want to do tonight is talk first about world building in general. Like, how do you guys go about building a world when you start a series? And then what we'll do is roll from there into talking about world building together in the Age of Magic. And then ultimately, how in the world do you do that when you're building in a universe that already exists? And we'll see how it goes and how far we get. But I don't know, who wants to jump in first? And we'll try to, since we have four people on a Skype call, we'll see if we can keep it under control a bit, and Lee and I will facilitate. Anybody want to get the ball rolling though?
Yeah,
I can.
All right. Good. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've seen a lot of kind of writers who are starting out get kind of stuck in the world building area. I know people who've spent literally years trying to build their world. So especially people who are like big fantasy readers, I feel like they really want to flesh out everything. They want to know what the agricultural system going back 800 years is. And, you know, I feel like you can go way too far with that kind of stuff. And my approach generally is that, I want the world to serve the story. So I try to start with the character, and then kind of think about what world would, you know, create that character and kind of build it outward from the character, rather than trying to figure out the whole history. I try to kind of figure out what parts of this world are going to serve the story best.
Yeah, nice. How about, go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's something that we've been trying to do too. And one of the reasons we've enjoyed bringing you guys on is that I think all of us are going to have a character kind of focused way of writing either stories, which I think will make them, like you said, Justin, easily digestible and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Brandon? When you get started with building a world, and you've done collaboration too, so maybe you could get the ball rolling on the collaborative process. How did you and your partner build a world together? And what were the things that you made sure that you had in place before you started actually writing, you know, page one?
Yeah, we definitely had to flesh out the character. The characters, like PT said, they kind of create the world around them almost. The way I like to look at it is what's the most tension and drive I can create to push the story forward around the character, and the world kind of materializes as I, you know, tinker with the character and tinker with the plot. And I feel like focus on tension and character. What can I put at the character and throw at the character to make every chapter exciting? And the world building for fantasy, I don't do any pre-plotting of economics unless I, you know, or any type of research. I know exactly what PT's talking about. I feel bad for some people I've met in person that they're just spend years planning their big novel. It's like, wow, you just need to write a good character and then and the world. I mean, yeah, it's a misunderstanding of how that works, like creatively, I feel. No one wants to read about world building alone. It's the characters that create the world building that make it interesting. So yeah, I definitely am character focused, tension focused, drama focused. And then the world just builds itself, and it can be incredibly complex too. You might not realize how little research, you know, was actually needed. Just, you know, minor researching this and that as you're going along to drive the story, create the cultures and worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Justin, as we've talked, I almost feel like you, after hearing the other two guys talk about their process, I feel like you're a world building junkie. Is that true, or is that just coming across in, you know, our messages to each other?
Yeah, I have no idea if that's true. I don't know. So let me tell the quick version of what I do generally, and then we'll see if that's accurate. Because I feel like a lot of what they're saying is pretty close to me too, but it depends on the circumstance. Like when I did Falls Redemption, it's basically I was waiting for the next Game of Thrones, and I was like, okay, I want to do my version of Game of Thrones that's based on the Wars of the Roses, and I wanted to do one based on the Peloponnesian War. So basically all my world building is just, okay, take the Peloponnesian War and make it more awesome and add some magical elements and whatnot. So in essence, it wasn't like real world building from scratch. It was basically looking up stuff about Greek warfare and looking up stuff about the Peloponnesian War. And I'd taken a master's degree class on it, so I knew it fairly well. But it was like looking at different aspects and saying, okay, if my culture here is like that, then, you know, how can I change it to make it work with these characters and this conflict going on? And then it got really, really complicated. And then I scaled back at one point because I was like, wow, this is just insane. But so that was the first book I ever wrote. In that sense, it's changed quite a lot. Nowadays, with like it's different, of course, writing somebody else's world, like with Michael Anderley with Reclaiming Honor. But it was kind of a new world, right? Because we're 150 years in the future. I don't recall doing a lot of crazy world building like outside of the book. So like what these guys are saying, where you kind of write, you make the character and you come up with it. I would do like a 3-page kind of beat sheet outline, and inside of there I'd have little paragraphs here and there about, oh, but this situation like this. And a lot of times what I'll do is as I'm writing, I'll come up with something and I'll be like, yes, that's great. And then if I'm smart, I'll copy that and put it into an Excel doc or something like that so that I can reference it later. What was stupid about those early books is I would forget to do that. I would just be writing it, creating, loving it, and then 100 pages later I'm like, oh crap, I don't remember anything that just happened. You know what I mean? So I think the smart way is to either put it all down first, which takes way too long, and like PT said, you can get lost in it, or put some of it down, come up with more as you go, but don't forget to copy it and put it somewhere where you can easily reference it.
There are dangers on the other side, right, though. You could like write something in chapter one that you think is awesome, and then by the time you get to book two, you realize, oh shit, that makes my world unmanageable. Now have any of you had problems with that where
what's the worst story?
Missteps.
I usually find a way out. like it might take a week, but it's like you're like, okay, there's a dilemma here. How can I fix that? Another good way is to my Song of the World series. I wrote the first three books before I even published them, so I did some major tweaking to book one when I was finishing book three, and so that was a huge help.
Yeah, we're thinking about being nice right now.
Yeah, I did the same way because it was the first books I'd ever written, so I didn't publish them at first because I wanted to wait till I felt I was ready, and I revised them like crazy. But one thing that I had to revise a bit was I had an idea where I wanted to approach it, like I said, like kind of Game of Thrones, where they don't have too much magic, but it does come to play later. And so I was going with that same idea, but I was going way on the extreme of no magic. And maybe some people still feel it's that way, but what I've done is I went back through and hinted at it all over the place and foreshadowed and actually have some magic happening that you don't know is magic, that maybe you'd realize when you read book three, oh, that was magic back in book one, but I didn't know it at the time, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like I had to work myself out of a hole exactly. But with my werewolf series, I have done a little bit more of that, because in book two, I wanted to go this totally other place. And so I was trying to think about revisionist history, you know, retcon. But sometimes I just have to move on and say, well, that's not going to work because I already screwed it up. Or, yeah, or other times you can try to find ways to kind of maneuver around it and hand wave, you know, yeah, magic tricks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of writing yourself in the corners. I think it almost always comes up with a, you almost always come up with something cool. Like it's always really painful when you do, but I think it always leads to good things. Like sometimes I even do it on purpose. Like in my book Regulation 19, very early in the book, I had I was writing a scene and I was like, this is kind of a boring scene. So I had the woman who was in the scene, I had her find a head in a freezer. And it was her freezer, and she had a head in the freezer, and she just acted like it was, you know, no big deal that she had this head in the freezer, and I had no idea why that was or where that was going. But I think when you do stuff like that, it always leads to better creative solutions in the long run, even though it causes a little pain.
Yeah, or if you write with PT, you can just say, here you go, and he can write you out of the corner.
Oh, good to know.
PT, we've needed you. This is my problem with Chris. I'll give him chapters where I go, you can do whatever you want here. And then I'll come back to that chapter and, you know, you've got characters that have known each other their whole lives or
and
something.
You're like, and then whatever you want except for this.
Yeah, it's like, how dare you not know what
everything
I was
you
thinking.
Just did.
Hey, here's one more question about world building in general for the writers. Do you all feel like you really shine in one area of world building and then there's an area that either you are terrible at or you kind of tend to ignore for one reason or the other, whether you're bad at it or you're not interested, you don't think of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head as far as saying like what you're interested in. I think that's the key in world building. It's like go as far as you're interested and then don't spend time dealing with the stuff you're not interested in. I think for me, like I'm really interested in magic systems, so I always try to develop pretty cool magic systems, and I can spend a lot of time working on those. So I think that's the area I shine, and the area I don't shine is like everything else.
I don't believe that, but yeah. Anyway,
I'll comment that I've been listening to the Land of Gods audiobook because it's being narrated. It just finished being narrated, so it's pretty cool. And and looking back at it, like I feel like I'm horrible at all those elements of like putting history and making it feel real. Just because it seems like it's so daunting, but listening to it, I'm like, man, I'm really good at this. You know, so nice. so yeah, but the magic is actually I don't want to admit this to any of you guys or anybody listening or Michael, but I'll say it anyway. Like I'd say it's kind of the weakness of mine, because I've always felt that books that rely too heavily on magic, it's kind of like when the aliens just show up and oh, it's all the alien, like Indiana Jones 4, it's right. Oh, it's the aliens, it feels just like but you know, if in our series, your series now, our series soon to
our
be.
Series. It's our series.
Our series.
Yeah.
If the magic has a reason and a logic behind it, then I love it. And so, like, if you look at mine, my stuff I've done in the before, it's like I said, it's very subdued. But I feel like that's a strength. And being able to, like, pull it out and actually make it have a reason and then all of a sudden be a real part of the story that is really part of the characters as well and not just throwing on top of them or, like, oh, everybody can throw fireballs. That's really cool. For no reason. So in a way it's a weakness, but in a way it's just like my own strength of doing it my way. Yes.
Hey, Justin just he just intentionally painted himself in a corner there and now he has to get out of it. So
nice.
You see what he did. That's the head in the freezer for Justin. I like it.
Exactly.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, you know, I would say I've had one close friend say I need to do more world building, but then my reviews generally say they love the world building. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess, you know, sometimes maybe a weakness would be to, wax poetic, in certain points. And usually my editors or beta readers catch that. And, you know, I'm like, you're going on here. Let's clip that. This part's pretty. You don't need another sentence or two. That kind of extended version stuff.
Yeah, like learning
how about info dumping?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just asking.
Ahead,
saying, are you an info dumper, or is it? Do you mean more of just like the prose and that stuff?
Oh yeah, prosy, not info dump. I'm usually pretty minimalistic. I try to just give little pieces of information, but like characters' thoughts, I'll dive into the characters' thoughts and And you know, so like cut it in half, and then it's good.
Nice. Well, so the nice thing, or the interesting thing about this, is that we're doing world building, but it's on top of a world that's already been formed by like 20 to 30 books already. So, Justin, it's a little different for you. So I guess I'll start with Brandon and PT. What kind of do you have any like fears or particular things that you're excited about as you're entering into helping us broaden this new world?
I guess I'll go. I'm honestly just really excited about the challenge of it, and my fears would be to not do a good enough job. Of course, I guess that's a writer fear, but I'm really looking forward to tackling the challenge and like the whole brainstorming part and working collaboratively is it's exciting to me. It's like accountability to like just drive me forward, and that my main fear would be just like not finding the right groove that Michael's fans will love. So, but it's a fear, but it's a fear that will drive me, I feel, to succeed. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, Michael's fans are, I've found them to be kind and gracious, but they also are pretty open and willing to tell you what they want and when they want it. So if you do make those missteps,
yeah, you'll know.
Yeah, you'll find out.
There we go.
What's cool though, I'll just jump in there real quick, because it's what's cool is his fans are so diverse that oftentimes something like that will happen, and then like 20 other fans will jump on and be like, "No, man, I loved what you did there." And so even when you start to feel depressed, somebody else will jump and get your back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. It's a different kind of world building, because I think, you know, often for me at least, world building can be a little overwhelming. Like, man, I have to build this entire world and everything about it. It's kind of, there's something kind of cool and comforting about being just developing one little corner of that world. I guess the fear would be along with what Brandon said about just the bar's really high and people have high expectations. I want to make sure I live up to that. And once I've added something to this world, it's kind of there to stay at Concrete, so I want to make sure it's awesome. But I think that's a good thing, you know, because it's going to motivate me to be my best and all that stuff. But I think it's an interesting world-building challenge, and I think another interesting challenge of it is just the fact that this world is growing by, you know, leaps and bounds. We have multiple authors working on stuff at the same time, so I think a challenge will be working together to make sure what we're doing is all in sync and figuring out how to sync things up in a great way.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There's going to be tons of opportunity for us to royally screw up the Wizard Magic, especially because we're all going after it at the same time. You know, like this is wild, and you know, already we're trying to develop some systems. Like we have a major document, and then we have a couple documents linked to that document. And the hope is that we can actually. It's not like one of us is going to write three books and then another one's going to write three books and then another one's going to write three books. And so we're all developing separate aspects of the canon separately. It's going to take some juggling, but I think that's going to be the exciting part of it. We might find some heads in the freezer.
Yeah. I'm a longtime comic book fan, and there's always those great, great moments in like Marvel and DC Comics where like, something in the background is happening that happened in another comic, and you're like, oh my god, that awesome connection. But then there's also the annoying, like, oh man, this is a crossover, I gotta buy like these other books that I don't want to buy. I think finding the good ways to cross it over and to kind of blend things and make it all fit is going to be the exciting challenge.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting is all three of you are pretty much doing different regions, and so in some ways that buys a little bit of margin, a little bit of grace. Amy and Candy are actually writing in our area, the Arcadian Valley, and so that might be where we end up getting it. It's going to get a little bit more tight in there, perhaps. I'm not sure.
Yeah, how'd you trick him into that?
Yeah, great question.
It's been awesome how everyone that we've brought on board has been able to fit a certain need that we've had, and not without we haven't like prodded or pushed anyone into it. It's just kind of like Candy and Amy both liked certain characters, and they were different characters, and they were going in different directions. I was like, awesome, you guys can kind of run with that. And then you all are kind of helping us broaden the world beyond our tiny, you know, post-fall Germany, which that was such a daunting, like, in terms of world building, we've got the whole freaking Earth to have to then build.
Except for South America, apparently, found out.
So the fact that the fact that you all can kind of help with that is awesome.
Yeah, and by help with it, he means
do it.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks for the help.
Yep.
What's going to be weird is when people start leaving reviews that are like, this isn't how Chris and Lee did it. Oh, your magic broke a rule that they made. And you're just like, oh, it's a different region. It's different slightly.
If any Catharian fans are listening, if it seems like PT or Brandon or Justin broke one of our rules, fair chance that we made a bad rule. Right. you can put the blame on us, not them.
Or that, I mean, the more realistic one there is that we are approaching it with slightly different takes on the rules because of world building that we'll explain in the stories. And probably it'll have gone through you guys before it goes out there, right? So it's not a mistake. It is all on purpose, and everything we do is perfect.
Buy the next book. The next book will explain it.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, that's
usually the truth.
That's really interesting you say that, because one of the biggest things that we have gotten, well, you know, three or four critiques that we've gotten have been somehow this doesn't fit with Michael's universe, you know, the original Catharian Gambit universe. And Michael in the background keeps telling us, it does, don't worry, it does. and so there's kind of like this sense of patience that we have to have, and hoping that the readers have patience to kind of just keep going with us. Some of that stuff will make sense. By the time this age gets really big, some of that stuff, some of the minor things won't matter as much anymore.
I'm intrigued.
We'll see. Justin, how about you? Because you're like jumping in again. How's it feel for you to be re-entering, writing in the Gambit universe?
You've got feet in two different streams here.
Yeah. Well, this is a little more worrisome because with Reclaiming Honor, one reason I picked the time period in the story I did is because I knew it wouldn't have to be too reliant on anything. Like, I could just make up a lot of whatever I wanted as long as it followed the vampire and werewolf rules and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, new characters, all that. And then, of course, I was like, yeah, let's do this and let's do that, and little crossover things with Michael. And that slowed down the process like crazy, because then he had to review things and I had to double check them and make sure I got them all right. And so I'm feeling like, you know, this – what scares me, of course, is slowing down the process, because right now we can easily bust out like a book a month or maybe two now that I'm going full time.
There you go.
But then, yeah, exciting. But then comes in the idea of research and not only on making sure that I'm right with you guys, but making sure, because mine is in the Scottish / English, maybe a little bit of Irish area. Like, obviously I don't have to get everything exactly right according to historical stuff, because this is in the future. It's totally different. But still, you want to make sure you get some things right, you know? Like, I don't want to name somebody what was the name of the guy in Highlander? Was it McLeod or McSomething? You know, you don't want to, like, name the main guy McLeod, and then everybody's like, dude, the main guy in Highlander is named McLeod. You screwed that up. Or, oh, this guy's name is William Wallace? What the hell, dude? so just, like, little bits of – and that's obviously obvious examples, but talking about, like, little things still that a lot of other people might know but might not have thought of, and I have to spend time to make sure I research that, and that'll slow down the process inevitably, and that's scary.
You guys are all right that it's, like – and there's an aspect of it that's terrifying, that there's so much room for error. And it's also so exciting that we have people reading these books that care to find those errors. Like, I don't know. I think our Steel City Heroes series probably has tons of errors in it, and no one's cared enough to tell us.
Yeah.
So, except for your mom.
My mom. Yeah. She's very concerned about the world building we did.
Yeah.
Justin, go a little bit deeper. So, In some ways, the world that we're building, we've made a jump, a historical jump. Since you spent time working in the world before our world, it's cumbersome. You know, in some ways, it's as the Reclaiming Honor series grows and Craig series and things like that, there's also a kind of like our history that we're working on in this world is still changing. It's not like it's been dead and gone for a couple hundred years or anything like that. Are there any like challenges or room for awesome things that you're seeing in that?
Well, this is one reason I'm excited for what Brandon's doing too, because if certain things happen in what I'm working on with Valerie, then of course those could come to play in his books. And so that could be fun in real time. Like if I make something happen in book 6 or 7, and then he's like 3 books in and it's in that exact same area, I could be like, dude, you got to put this here. And then they'll see that in the next book that comes out like a month later. That could be really fun, right?
That'd be awesome too. Yeah.
We chatted about, when I was on the podcast last time, we chatted about what I've been doing in that book, which was making, Michael and Bethany Ann, all those kind of like legendary characters, almost like gods. And then you guys have done the exact same thing too, but in a totally different, unique way, which is cool. And that's one aspect I'd love to do here. I'm not really sure how yet, you know, that's a challenge, because we're not really doing the vampire werewolf thing and we don't know how much history people have. I'd love to tie some of that in, but I'm not sure if we're allowed to, and I'm not sure how much it fits in the world, you know?
Yeah. And it seems like one of the things that, especially the four of us, or I guess the five of us, if I'm not talking about Lee and I as one person, one of the things that we'll have to do since we're writing in different regions is that we have to have continuity with like world rules. But we can't follow each other too closely, right? Because things will develop. We talked to Brandon about this especially. If he does end up writing in North America, that because it's separated by, you know, a lot of space and an ocean, things are going to develop naturally much differently than they have for us. And so he has to figure out a different way for them to develop. Justin, that might be the case for you too. PT, we might be having a little bit of character interaction for you. So it'll be an interesting challenge to, on one side of the coin, have continuity and consistency. On the other side of the coin, not just follow each other around and end up with some of the same storylines, like to make each of them fresh because they should be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you're in North America, then you might not call it, you know, the world. Do they call the whole world Earth? Earth? I mean, IRTH.
Yep.
Right.
The known world.
So like they might not, though, because that might have been something that developed over in the German area.
Right.
I think I'm getting the phone. The slap down outside pretty soon. Yeah. but yeah, I was just going to say that's totally awesome. And we'll have to touch base too, because my characters might interact with some of PT's. And then if they've learned stuff throughout the years, maybe at some point my characters start to that they've never learned before. Yeah. So it's like a cool thing that it's for the first time. And anyway,
yeah. One of the things
I will sign off there, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I'll see you, Justin. Yeah.
All right. Now the good stuff.
Jeez, Justin.
Let's talk about Justin.
hey, Brandon, I'll pass this one over to you. And maybe it's a curveball. I don't know. We didn't prep any of these, so we're going, you know, we're going freestyle. Okay. All right, sweet.
Oh, nice.
So here's my question for you. We're not writing fantasy, and we're not writing science fantasy, although it might be close to it. We're writing future fantasy. And so some of the, like, far future fantasy – some of the conversation that we've already had, or some of us have already had, is how does fantasy look different in the far future? And how do we make sure that we don't follow so closely to, how do we make it not feel like a medieval fantasy book? And we've already tried to do some of that stuff, but I'm interested in what you guys think.
Yeah.
That's actually been on the forefront of my mind as I've been reading and just kind of letting the world that I'm discovering sink in. I bit my teeth as a kid reading like Michael Crichton and thrillers and like, you know, future fantasy, but set in our, you know, not that far in the future, but this kind of a different, you know, a sci-fi, I should say, not fantasy, but a different feel, like a different tone and stuff. And I'm trying to explore in my mind how that might feel, kind of creating a techno fantasy or something a little bit more like that. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but just a different kind of style than that medieval, you know, more slow world building, or, you know, all that kind of a Game of Thrones, we'll say, exact type of world. So yeah, I'm playing with that in my mind of how that might look, and it seems like it could really be something engaging and a kind of a different pace than what lots of fantasy books, you know, are being written in, a different a different feel that does bring in that fantasy element, like magic or, you know, the world building to a degree, but then also sets it on maybe a more modern pace than, you know, a more modern suspense novel pace, or you know, catchy, punchy, and I don't know, just a different vibe. I'm percolating that. It's in my tea kettle.
Yeah, one of the things we keep talking about is I feel like we're like walking the narrow ridge, because on one side is the cliffs of Michael's readers who are like we're like nervous that the fantasy, kind of the fantasy storyline, some of the fantasy tropes, definitely the fantasy branding because of our cover, you know, we have a dragon, you know, all these things. Like, we're afraid that we're going to tick off Michael's readers on one side of the narrow ridge. On the other side is that fantasy readers will give it a try. And once you start reading it, it doesn't have fantasy pacing. It doesn't have fantasy prose. So I feel like we're taking a real risk with that. And it's been a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, that's totally true. It's like people just entering the series, seeing, you know, the book highly ranked on Amazon are going to be like picking it up. And just, you know, they might not even know about the Cuthbertian series and just be entering in fresh. And, you know, what's their experience? What are their, you know, reactions to that style that you guys have created? It's definitely, compared to, you know, Michael's hardcore fan base, very interesting question. I don't know how many reviews you see that are like, you know, from one side versus the other side, however much feedback you're getting, but that is a question that I have.
Yeah, I feel like these books would play really well with like a Brandon Sanderson type audience. Like whenever you read one of his books, it's very much that feel. Like, you feel like there's a big history there that you don't know, and it's, his magic systems are very well thought out, almost science based, but not quite. So I feel like his readers could jump over to your books to Restriction and stuff like that, no problem at all.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mistborn was certainly on my mind as we were creating the Rise of Magic series. Although Chris kept me away from having our characters start eating metal or anything.
So far
to make it happen.
Sanderson has this like fascination with metal, because I just started the Reckoners series, which I hadn't read before, and Steelheart. And so I don't know, maybe he's from Pittsburgh. Like, he has a metal fetish going on. PT, when you think about writing future fantasy, because you've been steeped in the fantasy world, what do you picture? What do you imagine? And what do you hope to do?
Yeah. You know, I think it all comes down to that people are people, whether you're writing them in the past Earth or a secondary Earth or a future. So I think, you know, you can think about people the same way, and it's more about like, what are the elements of their world that are driving things. So I think you take the same approach, whether it's future fantasy or past fantasy or secondary world fantasy, and really just think about what are the elements of their world, what's driving them, and kind of build the world and their experiences out from there. So I think the approach is kind of the same, but I'm excited about some of the things like I don't know that we've delved into this too much, but, you know, some of the maybe relics of the past Earth that they might be able to find and things like that. This stuff gets me excited.
Yeah, you know, we were very intentional with the first cover to try to show our cards a little bit, because it's very much like the foreground is incredibly, like, it looks like a typical fantasy book. Not typical. I mean, it's a great cover. We love it. But in the background, there's a like the ruins of a skyscraper. And so you have like this post-apocalyptic look in the background. So in some ways, like trying to tip off the reader even beforehand, hey, be ready for something that you're not expecting. And then for other people, like, I think it's pretty compelling, like, holy crap, what's going on here? Like, I want to read this. I want to figure out what this picture is about. So
I totally agree. I saw your cover and I was like, wow, that's very intriguing, because of that hint of the background of the skyscraper with the, you know, the mage and the girl on the front. I think it was a really smart move.
Yeah.
Nice. We hate covers. We did. We succeeded.
Well, this has been great, guys. We're looking forward to it. First of all, thanks for jumping in, because you guys are both getting started. I mean, we're asking you questions about a world that you're just now starting to dip your toes into, just now starting to imagine and start to create. This was really fun. And I think for me, writing with you all, this is like encouraging for us to get moving. And so I can't wait to see how things develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, here's what we're going to do. Instead of having you guys tell people where to find you, we'll put it in the show notes, because nobody remembers from the talk anyway. So we'll put your websites up there. And then anything else you want us to add, we'll put on the Facebook page and on the website. And thanks so much. And PT, happy birthday, man.
Thanks much. My birthday with you guys.
My gift for you is not singing. So you're welcome.
Awesome.
All right, and I guess that means this is
the end.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm working on it.